Chapter 19. Sunday and Jitendra were on the overland bullet train speeding west through the plains of Krise in the middle of the Martian day when Jeffrey chinged in. Sunday knew at once that something was wrong. "If you can," his figment said, "take this call somewhere private. I don't mean from Jitendra. It would be good if Jitendra could be with you, but you shouldn't be in public." Jeffrey's face told her everything she needed to know, except the worst part of it. "I don't have good news." The Pans had paid for a private compartment in the train, so there was no need for Sunday to take the call anywhere else. She allowed the figment to continue speaking, cursing the distance that prevented her from responding to him in real time, cursing physics, the basic organizing framework of reality. "It's just after noon here. This morning, I came back from Tiamat. I was due to land at the study station, but as I came in, I saw that something was happening on the ground. The cousins were there, and they'd found Memphis." Jeffrey swallowed, moved his jaw. "He was dead, Sunday. Something had happened out there, and he was dead, on the ground, just lying there." Jeffrey stopped and looked down at his feet. "There was already a doctor on the scene when I arrived, but too much time had passed. They've taken Memphis to Mombasa, but it's not looking good. I don't think there's going to be much they can do." Jitendra had already closed his hand around hers, though she barely felt his presence. The train compartment, the pressure-tight glass, the rushing red scenery beyond, everything receding into galactic distance. "I don't know what happened," Jeffrey went on. "He'd agreed to help me with the elephants while I was away. The doctor says he was crushed, as if he got into trouble with the elephants. But that can't have happened. Memphis knew the herd almost as well as I did. I wouldn't have asked for his help otherwise. There's no one else I'd have trusted to do the job properly." He closed his eyes. "That's all I have right now. I'll call you as soon as there's more news. But I think you should be prepared for the worst." He opened his eyes, started to say something before abandoning the attempt. "I feel I ought to say that I wish I could be with you, but that's a lie. I wish you were here, back with me in Africa. Right now, Mars feels like a very long way away." He nodded, his eyes meeting hers with uncanny directness. "Take care, sister. I love you." Jeffrey was gone. The train sped on its way, oblivious to her news. It should be slowing, she reckoned, allowing her thoughts time to catch up. That would be the decent thing. She did not know what to do or say. So when Jitendra tightened his hold on her and said that he was sorry, she was as glad as it was possible to be in that moment. "I have to get back to Earth. Wait for what the doctors have to say. Neuropractice can do wonders nowadays. You heard what my brother said. It had been too long." Jitendra had no answer for that. He had meant to be kind, she knew, but there was reasonable hope and there was false hope, and she would not cling to the latter. "I have to get back," she repeated. "It won't make any difference." Jitendra was speaking very carefully. "It's taken you a month to travel here. Even if we got back into orbit and miraculously found a slot on the next swift ship out, it'd be 5 weeks, at least, before we'll be anywhere near Earth. Every week I spend here, Earth is further away. If there's going to be a funeral, you'll have either already missed it, even if you leave now, or they'll have to wait until you get back. Who was closest to Memphis? You and your brother. And your brother's back in Africa. He's not going to let anything happen until you get home, is he?" "Please don't talk about funerals," Sunday said. "Not yet. Not before we've heard from Mombasa." But he was right. She had already been thinking of funerals.